going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome into the Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come on FanDuel. I'm your host, Sean Kane, and we are looking at a nice little slate in the Major League Baseball today. I believe it's 10 games on a Wednesday night. I think it's like 13 games. We got a couple afternoon games, but a nice slate, in the evening here. Certainly a lot of options, some solid pitching, some solid bats to look at. So it should be a fun one. Hey, a couple shout outs to make here. Shout out to, Spectre, one of our analysts, one of our cheat sheet analysts. Big night for him last night. Had a really, really solid outing. And Big Sean, loyal listener, loyal follower. Good night for him as well. It was interesting. You know, Archer did his thing, which was good to see. Jimmy Nelson, I think Jimmy Nelson and Jeff Samardzija are the same person. Like, tons of strikeout upside, really, really, really good advanced metrics, but, like, a propensity to give up runs. That was tilting. Charlie Morton's hot streak kind of came to a close, and, you know, it was either – there was one of two things that happened in that game last night. Charlie Morton stays red hot and cruises, or the Nationals regress, and the Nationals regressed. They went back – you know, they were struggling, and we identified that, but they bounce back. They bounce back for sure. Yankees stack was killer. The Angels stack, though, was just behind them. 10 total runs for the Angels last night. I was really pleased with that outcome. I would have liked a little bit more from Arizona. It would have been nice to see them throw another dinger out there. I mean, AJ Pollock had bases loaded in the sixth with zero outs, and they only got one run out of that on a sac fly, which was just a mess. You know, that's just a bummer. They had the opportunity to blow that game wide open and really just couldn't do it. But strong outing from Patrick Corbin. He had a rock solid game, went eight innings, only one earned. He was great. So, you know, we were there. The thing that you got to continue to try and do is just find the right balance, right? That stack that's gonna blow up, get you 10 plus runs, plus the arm that's gonna offer you that K upside. And last night, Corbin was certainly that guy, you know, alongside Chris Archer. And it was. If you had them plus maybe some Angels or some Yankees, you were solid. The one disappointment that I had was that for ownership purposes, I went to Cincinnati over the Cubs. And while it was working really, really well early, the Cubs late burst against the Cincinnati bullpen hurt, and they didn't really do the home run thing. They just kept smacking the ball around. It's another situation. And of course, Seattle just, where did that Lucas Sims come from? So there were a couple, I just had a couple holes in some of my lineups where, you know, Cincinnati or whether it was Seattle in different spots, that was frustrating. Either way, we got 13 games to break down tonight. Hey, listen, today is the listener free roll. Okay, so subscribers, you guys, Patreon subscribers, I'm going to roll something. The loyalty pool is going to happen later in the week. But if you're not a subscriber, this one is open to you. Okay, this one is open to you. This is going to be a 20-man cash prize free roll. Cash prizes for the top three scores. My money, PayPal, to you for the top three scores tonight. Get into the free roll. And all I ask you to do, listeners, all I ask you to do is write a review. If you're going to put an entry in, totally free, I'm paying the winners in this 20-man pool. All I ask you to do is write a review, okay? If you get in there and you want to jump into that 20-man, write a review, okay? So that's it. That's all I need from you. And you get a chance to take down $20 in first place. Definitely giving away $20 for free to first 10, to second place, five to third. So why not throw your lineup in there, see if you can make some cash Reno, and just write me a review. It takes you 2 minutes. Great show. Listen to it a lot. Enter. I appreciate it. Anyway, all right, so let's talk about these games. Keep your eye on my Twitter, by the way, and keep your eye on the blog, Lineup Logic DFS, for the entry link. That's where I will post it on the show, on the blog. So that's where it will be. The entry link will be there. Let's talk about the slate we got coming up tonight. All right, starts in Pittsburgh. 9 runs projected here. This series has been interesting, huh? Some runs exchanged last night for sure. Dodgers, Pirates, Rich Hill going up against Trevor Williams. 9 runs projected in this one, and 5 of them belong to the Dodgers. 4 of them belong to the Pirates. You know, the Pirates have been pretty good against left-handers, and Rich Hill on a point-per-dollar basis really has been meh, right? Really great outing against San Diego. Which, okay, fine, they're going to swing at everything, but then really did not hit a ceiling in matchups against San Francisco, the Mets, or Detroit. You know, I don't think there's any... obviously, Rich Hill is a great pitcher. I just don't necessarily think that there's a lot of upside in rostering him tonight, especially at that price point when there's guys who will offer you upside, who probably can go later in a game, and will go up against higher strikeout teams. So... I don't mind the Dodgers, I guess, in this spot, but I do kind of like that I'm just watching their prices go down a little bit, and we'll target them over their weekend series. Marlins, Phillies in Philadelphia. This Marlins just hit the ball out of this ballpark, right? They love the park upgrade, and they hit a ton of home runs yesterday in that early game, and then continued to hit some home runs here. They're going to get Mark Leiter Jr. You know, Leiter on the whole, his season stats kind of represent, you know, he's a decent pitcher. Well, a lot of that is relief innings, right? And, you know, we know that relief innings magnify your splits. So as a starter, he has not been great. So we are certainly interested in targeting him. I have yet to see a line in this one. Okay, no, it's been set. Excuse me. I'm wrong. 10 runs projected here in this one. Justin Nicolino is the favorite over Leiter, and the Marlins projected for 5.2 runs here. Although, interestingly enough, Philly's projected for 4.7. That could be an interesting spot to go, depending on what you see from that lineup. Diamondbacks, Mets, 9 runs projected in Citi Field, 5 runs for the Diamondbacks, 4 for the Mets. Zach Godley, the favorite here against Chris Flexen. Yeah, I like Zach Godley. Like, you compare Zach Godley to Rich Hill right now, I would rather have Zach Godley because I think he has more K upside, more point per dollar value in this situation over Rich Hill. Cubs, Reds, 10 runs projected in Cincinnati. 5.5 of those belong to the Cubs, and 4.5 of those belong to the Reds. Mike Montgomery on the hill for the Cubs. He's going to be filling in for Lester. Which I wish it was Lester. They smashed Lester. Mike Montgomery, just a massive ground ball guy, and not a bad pitcher. Like, can soak up some innings and kind of, like, you know, hobble through the game. I don't know necessarily how much I like the Reds getting 4.6 runs here. Cubs, obviously, against a fly baller like Wojciechowski in this little bitty ballpark with really nice weather conditions. Just a nice 75 degrees, 50% humidity there in Cincinnati. Really nice day for baseball. So certainly a good spot to target. Toronto, Tampa Bay, 8.5 runs projected here. Marcus Stroman's a slight favorite here. 4.3 runs for the Jays against Austin Pruitt. Will Pruitt blow up like he did last time against the Mariners? I don't know. Stroman certainly had a nice outing in the Rogers Center, but his home road splits are similar to Archer, right? You know, you have guys who are both better at home than they are on the road. And so there's more limited upside to Stroman at this price and on the road than there was last week when we targeted this matchup. Red Sox Indians, 7.5 runs projected in Cleveland. That's because you have Corey Kluber and Drew Pomeranz. Pomeranz, quietly one of the better starters for the Red Sox recently. You know, not getting blown up, not great. We know what Drew Pomeranz is, but you compare him to, you know, Erod, who's been unreliable, and Porcello, who, you know, well, Porcello might be regressing and finding himself a little bit. He's had a couple good outings here, but Indians favored, but only getting 4.3 runs in this one. Obviously, with Klubot on the hill, the Red Sox 3.1 runs. That's, I think, the lowest total on the slate. Makes a good sense because Corey Kluber is an animal. But we're going to talk about it because, remember, he left that Kansas City game with an ankle, took a couple days off. We'll see how they treat the ankle. It doesn't seem to be a thing, but I don't know. Yankees, Tigers, 9 runs projected in Comerica, 5.3 for the Yankees. The Yankees woke up last night. Are they waking up in general? Hopefully, for fantasy purposes, we can ride this trend. You know, they did the thing that you wanted them to do last night. Get base runners, you know, extra base hits. Aaron Judge took a bunch of walks. I don't know if he was taking walks or they were giving him walks, but like, you know, to his credit, I think he's starting to understand how much his massive strikeout problems hurt the team. And perhaps he's trying to slow down and show a little bit of more plate discipline, but he's continues to be underpriced. Gary Sanchez, double dong. That'll break the slate. You know, Chris Iannetta was a great point per dollar value, but Gary Sanchez is easily the highest owned catcher on any single given night. You know, that breaks the slate. When he double dongs, that hurts. So he's in a good spot here, though, against Jordan Zimmermann. We're going to have to talk Yankees here in this one. Mariners, Braves, 9.5 runs projected in Atlanta. The Mariners just let me down so much. Such a letdown, the Mariners in this spot. Yeah, Braves are pitching R.A. Dickey. The Mariners project pitching Erasmo Ramirez. I don't really like either of these offenses. Dickey has been pretty solid of late. You know, he has his spots where he just gets absolutely blown up, and then he has his spots where he's very good at managing contact. You know, I mean, he's gone 6 or 7 innings in each of his last 4 starts. Yes, he allows hits. Yes, he allows walks. And Cincinnati got to him in his last outing. But like teams like St. Louis couldn't get to him. You know, if he's going to give up a homer, he's going to give up a homer, but he's probably not going to do it to lefties. I don't know what to do with the Mariners, man. They kill me. The Braves, I don't play the Braves. I guess you could, I mean, Freddie Freeman could be I take that back. Freddie Freeman versus a righty at home, 85 degrees, 60% humidity versus, you know, Erasmo, who for whatever reason decided to troll the Rays last time out. You know, you could definitely go to Freddie. Freddie is a one-off in this spot. I think he will go under-owned. You compare him to Rizzo, for example. Nationals, Astros, 9.5 runs projected in Houston. Tanner Roark did his thing last night where he just kind of, the Mike Pelfrey school of don't get blown up, you know, that kind of whole thing. Edwin Jackson, Mike Fiers. Nats projected for 4.1 runs, but Fiers is a favorite here with the Astros getting 5.3 runs against Edwin Jackson. This could be a great Astros night. One of those great Astros nights. Could be. They're due for one. Twins, White Sox, 10 runs projected in a guaranteed rate. the Twins continue to just hit so many home runs. Did you know that the Twins are in the second wild card spot? Did you know that the Twins have 32 home runs in the last 14 days? Irvin Santana versus big game James Shields. Now, this total opened for the Twins at 6 runs, and then it dropped. It drops, which I guess just it's an aggressive number to see next to the Twins. So people were like, oh, I'm going to go for the under here, you know, and James Shields had a nice outing last time in Texas. But I just James Shields going back to back, you know, especially in this ballpark, you got to like the Twins here. Padres, Cardinals, the Padres were the ones that scored all the runs in this one. I thought for sure the Cardinals with that Stephen Piscotty home run were going to crack this wide open. I was like, here it comes. Okay, 3-run shot from Piscotty. Nice. It's starting. They're going to blow him up. Nothing, man. And they were so low owned. The only person people played was Paul DeJong because they didn't know who else to play. So, you know, I had Tommy Pham at 5%, which, like, if Tommy Pham does Tommy Pham things, he's gonna, they were in such a good spot. Makes me so mad. They weren't in such a good spot. That's a massive overstatement. I apologize. They were in a good spot, and it seemed like they were getting ready to blow this game up. Against Julius Chacin, 4.9 runs here. You know, Chacin away from Petco, not that great. Chacin against righties, very good. So what do you do here? It's basically it would be Carpenter and Fowler. That's it. Maybe if Colton Wong finds himself up towards the top half of the lineup, you get a little three-man going there. But I don't think you have to force this Cardinals stack. But there's a good chance that Chacin gets blown up. Luke Weaver in an excellent spot, and we will talk about him. He's a minus 178 favorite. Very, very telling how much Vegas likes his stuff. Colorado, Kansas City, cross it off. No, I mean, you don't have to cross it off, but this run, you know, the combination of the fact that the Kansas City, you know, the Colorado pitching rotation is pretty good at limiting damage. You know, Senzatella is not great, not at all. You know, but he's decent at limiting the damage. And Ian Kennedy is a fly baller, but if he's not pitching in cores, then, you know, I don't completely see the upside here. I think you can cross this game off here. Texas, LA, 9 runs projected here. Again, the Angels are favored here against Andrew Cashner. Of course, I got aggressive last week on the show. Got aggressive and said Cashner could be a good start against the White Sox. He didn't really, you know, he didn't really do. He did Andrew Cashner things, which was just kind of soak up innings, you know, and like hope that this team hits the ball. Against the Angels, you can't really like them here. They're just hitting righties so well. 10 runs last night, you know, and Tyson Ross is terrible compared to Cashner from a bad ball profiles perspective. Andrew Haney, though, this is an interesting spot for the Rangers. I think they'll go under-owned. They're really pretty well-priced. I mean, Elvis Andrus at 3.6, and, you know, Sinsu Chu, well, that's not a great. That's actually Shields at 3.4. Wow. Whew. Yeah. I mean, they're okay. They're at a decent price point given the ballpark and everything like that. But I think you could certainly look. I mean, you can look to the Angels side. It's just Cashner he's only going to give up 4 runs, right? He's only going to give up 4 runs even against the Angels here in this spot. He's not a blow up guy. So that's it, man. 13 games, some really nice ones. And we got a lot of pitching to talk about. So let's go ahead and jump into that. Who do you love? All right. So looking at the pitching, obviously you got Kluber and Severino here at the top. And like, you know, what do you say? I think it's very obvious that these guys are heads and tails, the best pitchers on the slate. No joke. But this is fantasy baseball. And this isn't real life baseball. And so there's a reason that I'm going to possibly nudge Severino over Kluber not because of talent, not because of upside, only because of point per dollar value, okay? There's a lot of bats on this slate, and it's complicated to figure out how you are going to hang with people. There's not, like, you know, some very nice cheap stack that's in a decent spot. Like that's one of the complicated parts for me. And Severino at 9.9K kind of allows you to do that. I think he's in a solid spot against Detroit. We just saw, you know, Tanaka ran clean for six innings, and then he gave up a two-run shot to Castellanos, or excuse me, Kinsler. That's what I said was going to happen, right? He's going to have a solid outing. He's going to have a solid outing, but someone's going to hit a home run off of him, and that's going to be it. And eventually, you know, that's what happened. He didn't really have the strikeout stuff. Like, I was a little bit disappointed in that. You know, 4Ks for Tanaka with that swinging strike rate is just kind of frustrating. But, you know, when you only throw a couple different kinds of fastballs and they just saw you last week, it makes sense that he wasn't able to really generate a ton of strikeouts. I think the K upside for Severino, though, is here. I mean, because he's just overpowering. He's just so overpowering. He roasted the Mets for 9Ks. I think he's going to flirt with that number again. I see him 6+. You know, 9 is a high number here, but against right-handers, the Tigers, they can swing, okay? And against a right-hander who has gas, Severino's averaging 90 miles an hour this year. It's just filthy, dude. This guy is awesome. You know, they're liable to swing too much. And especially against guys with velocity. Like, we've seen Gerrit Cole succeed against them. Archer succeeded against them. And Severino had a really nice outing against them when they were in New York. They all meet or exceed expectations when facing the Tigers. So I think you pencil in the quality start and the win against Zimmerman. And then you look, you know, okay, where, how many Ks do we get against this lineup? 6+, 7+, and are you going to allow any runs? There aren't any lefties here that are really going to do any damage. So the question is, you know, one of these righties going to get a hold of one and send it? Very, very possible. But away versus right-handers is just a filthy split for Severino. You know, we know he's got almost 30% K rate, but away versus right-handers, he had a 33% strikeout rate, only a 5% walk rate, a 2.3 xFIP. It's his best split. That's his best situation. Away from Yankee Stadium makes sense. Just gigantic ballpark, or excuse me, tiny, teeny, tiny ballpark. So you get this, you know, gigantic ballpark in Comerica in certain spots. You know, it really is going to help him a lot. And he's going to see almost all right-handers, you know, pretty much top to bottom. Anyone that you're worried about is a righty. And he does strikes them out at a 33% rate. And you compare that to Kluber's 35% rate, and you kind of go, okay, well, 33 versus 35. I mean, that's pretty solid. And the Tigers are certainly a higher strikeout team than the Red Sox. I mean, that's no doubt, you know. Kluber versus Boston is great, but at 11K, Kluber has to have massive upside. He has to be flirting with 60, I think, for you to really like that. And I think you can say, Kluber easily gets to 40 here tonight, 40 plus. But how do you say that Severino doesn't do the same thing? That's my question. Okay. I mean, the advantages is that Kluber is at home, and I love Kluber at home. No doubt about it. Okay. But you get a really low strikeout team. We saw him against a low strikeout team against Kansas City. And it's not to say that you could necessarily project. He got through 5.1 innings, all right, and got 4Ks and gave up a run. Now, let's project that out to 7 innings, right? But Kluber's easily goes 7 innings in most of his starts. That means he has 7 innings, 7Ks, quality start, win, which, you know, and one earned, which is a 50-point-plus outing, okay? Let's say he doesn't, you know, the issue that I have here is I don't know if you're going to get the innings out of Kluber. With the ankle thing, I do think you're going to get six. I think you get a quality start out of him. And across six innings against the Red Sox, I think it's fair to say you could get six, seven, maybe eight strikeouts. But I don't think you're going to get eight, nine inning Kluber. I don't know if you're going to get 60, 70 point Kluber in this situation. Now, only $1,000 variation, or excuse me, only $1,000 difference for the floor that Kluber offers. Yeah. If you're playing, I mean, in a 50-50, there's no reason. But I think if you're talking GPPs or you're talking leagues or whatever the case may be where you want to climb the leaderboard, you're going to need a little bit more access to the bats. So I can see why people would go to Severino, get $1,100 more to play with bats here. Yeah, because there's just not a lot of teams that are like intensely good values on this slate. You know, that's one of the things here. I think, you know, here's the numbers. 35% strikeout rate, 16% swinging strike rate. I don't know what to say. Okay, the Red Sox, however, I'll counter that. One of the lowest chase rates in baseball. 26 and 26th in swinging strike rate. Like, they're down there. They're not going to swing at everything that Kluber throws. So that limits the upside. And I, you know, trying to look through Kluber's game logs to see, like, how does he do against low strikeout, high discipline teams that don't chase? You don't really have one here. I mean, he has pitched in his last couple teams, except for Kansas City. And I think Kansas City is a good indicator. You know, 4 Ks through five innings with one earned isn't what you're paying for with Kluber, right? He had the Rays, he had the Rockies, he had the Yankees, he had the White Sox. All of those teams swing, and strike out. And, you know, against the Yankees, that upside, remember, came from the fact that he pitched nine innings. It's hard for me to get a sense that Kluber is going to go out and do more than 45 points. But Kluber's not going to get hit. Like, let me be clear about this. Like, Corey Kluber is going to provide you with the safest floor investment, but you have to find an offense to go with him. And that's, I think, the challenge that you're up against in lineup construction. That said, again, like I said, 50-50s, head-to-heads, you play Kluber. The floor, you create that floor, and then you just go from there. However, I think in other formats, it's acceptable to pivot. Now, couple pivots that I like. Stroman is interesting versus the Rays. Obviously, at 9-1, people are going to like him. He just had a great game against them. It's a very affordable price point. He's safe. He has floor. The Rays offer K upside. But pause. He's on the road. It's not a park issue that causes me to pause, but it's just the fact that he strikes out so many fewer batters on the road, and he allows more contact on the road. So if you replace three of those strikeouts with groundouts in the trop, all of a sudden, you know, Stroman's outing goes from really solid to mediocre. You're taking 10 points off of that 40-point outing that he had, and you're dropping him down to, you know, 30 points. I don't know if I like that. The Rays are going to swing. They're going to strike out. They're going to give him at least, I think they're going to give him at least 5 Ks. Okay, but how many runs are they going to generate? I don't know. Okay, they could offer him the exact same game. Definitely possible here. The one thing I will say that's fishy that kind of makes me a little bit anxious is that the Rays total went up. It opened at 4. It's gone up to 4.3. Just a hair, but enough that people with smart money are going, nah, Rays are going to hit a couple. And part of that is because they're due for regression. They are. I mean, there's just no way that these hitters continue to hit so badly. And you saw Lucas Duda and Corey Dickerson go yard. Now, Rowley is bad, a bad pitcher. but you're seeing this team possibly do enough that they are showing glimmers of regression. And Stroman's road splits at this price. Stroman, let's be clear. If Stroman was 8.2 again, like he was a couple weeks ago, I would play him in a heartbeat. But at 9.1 and you only take $800 to get to Severino, I think I'm going to go to Severino. And I think at this price point, I would rather go down to a guy like Zach Godley. Zach Godley at 8.8 isn't in a great spot. I mean, what did we get from Corbin? 49 FanDuel points, I think it was. I think you get the same thing here. He went 8 innings, 7 Ks, 1 earned, quality start, win. I mean, the Mets, fine, take one of those runs off. Take two of those runs off. Let's say he gives up 3 runs, you know, because of Michael Conforto. Let's say just that alone. Michael Conforto hits one out, hits another one out. You know, Ahmed Rosario got one off of Corbin. But let's say Michael Conforto hits one off of Godley. Fine. Okay. Then we're dropping it down to 40 points. You know, with more strikeout upside, I think Zach Godley is more of a strikeout pitcher than Stroman is, right? He's got a 14% swinging strike rate and a 27% K rate overall. Okay. Even in a situation where he got hit hard by the Twins, he got 10 Ks through 5 innings. I mean, this guy can generate whiffs, and I think that that's the upside that you're looking for, is you have a 10K pitcher versus one of the most disciplined teams in baseball, and then all of a sudden, you're going to get you get the Mets, who, you know, their plate discipline stats are not good lately. You know, they're really not. And against righties, hold on, sorry. Let me make sure I get this right. Righties plate discipline stats for the Mets this year. Swinging at 10% of pitches, chasing at a 31% rate. Okay? You compare that to the Twins. The Twins are one of the most disciplined teams in baseball. And the Twins had an 8.6% swinging strike rate with an 80% contact rate and a lower chase rate. So the Mets make less contact, they swing at more pitches and strike out more often. And, you know, you have to think that Godley is in a great spot here. Do you worry about the home run ball? Yeah, you worry about the lefties, you worry about Michael Conforto. They're better against righties than they are against lefties, but I just can't necessarily say that I'm thinking the Mets are in a great, you know, position to generate momentum or morale or anything like that. Godley is a good pitcher. He's capable of creating massive strikeout upside. I love it. I like it. I like it here. The other one is Luke Weaver, man. Give me all the Luke Weaver. If you really want to go full GPP YOLO, I think Luke Weaver, as we say on the show, Kevin Garnett, your lineups, anything is possible. We got to talk about the fucking Kyrie trade. Pause, timeout. I'm going to come right back to Luke Weaver against San Diego. And if you want to skip ahead, fine, skip ahead. Here's my Kyrie trade takes. One, first I go straight to the Bulls talk. Okay. One, was this the offer that was on the table for, I guess it probably wouldn't have been mid-season because of Isaiah Thomas, but was this the offer that was on the table for Jimmy? Why didn't we take that? Right? Like, why didn't we take that? Maybe it was Avery Bradley, the pick, Jay Crowder. I don't know. I don't know why we didn't take it. You know, you have Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn. Okay, great. And we lose picks? First of all, that's my first take. The Bulls take, of course, fire guard packs. Two, second thing, Danny Ainge, it doesn't seem like Danny Ainge wants to win now. Like, Danny Ainge is like out-aging himself. Like, he just keeps pushing the timeline down the road. Like, he just keeps saying, like, we're planning for the future. We're planning for the future. We're going to win down the road. We're building something here. It's like, when are you going to actually chase a title? Like, when are you going to really win? Like, I do think that the Cavs definitely got better. Like Isaiah versus Kyrie, they offer so many of the same things, right? The 3-point upside, the shitty defense, the handles, the finishing ability. Like they're Kyrie has a much higher ceiling because of his age. And, you know, I think at this age, he's going to be able to probably be a lifetime better player than Isaiah Thomas. So from that perspective, I get it. But for the right now, LeBron is a massive winner. Jay Crowder provides defense and rebounding, which they sucked at during the regular season. IT replaces Kyrie in all the necessary spots where you need him to replace, right? Namely, the 3-point shooting and the handling and the point guard position, because you have Derrick Rose, right? Add to that the pick. Like, what are you doing giving up the pick? I thought the pick was sacred. You're hoarding all of your assets here, and you gave LeBron's franchise a pick? You gave them a first rounder? Are you just, you keep pushing the timeline down the road so that in like 2022, when LeBron is like fading, that's when you're gonna decide that it's time to win? I guess. I don't know, but he's like, you know, Danny Ainge inception is just like the most unbelievable thing. Like the Celtics are great. I love that team. I think it's a great team. It's a great young team. I think they're going to struggle a little bit with leadership. And I think when they're not making shots, they're really going to struggle. But I think you have to think for the long-term health of the Celtics that they're better, right? You have all of those young picks. You have a lot of guys on the same timeline. You know, Hayward and Kyrie on a similar timeline. I don't know. It's just weird. Like, the interior is still terrible. And I don't really see much defense out of that team. But you lose Jay Crowder, where is the defense coming from? Al Horford's dead body? I don't know. Anyway, enough about that. Luke Weaver versus San Diego is much more exciting. Just kidding. I love Luke Weaver in this spot, right? Luke Weaver his last start was against Milwaukee, right? And they keep dropping him in and out of the rotation, but I think it's just they're using him in spot starts when they know. Well, he's filling in for Wainwright, I think. But they're using him in spot starts when they know a team's going to swing. And this team will fucking swing. Now, it's hard to get a really good sense of who Luke Weaver is as a pitcher, right? He's only got 11 start sample size as a starter, or 11 inning sample size as a starter. But, okay, the percentages, I think, are indicative. 10% swinging strike rate, 10% walk rate. That's his bugaboo. Like any young pitcher, it's the walks. 24% K rate. And he's only allowed a 31% fly ball rate. BABIP is right there. It's low. It's, you know, within range of like reasonable. So we kind of, you know, see like what you see is what you get type thing. XFIP, not bad. You know, XFIP is elevated because of the, XFIP is elevated because of the walks. So the walks are really the issue. But we know the Padres don't walk. They swing at everything. Terrible play discipline. One of the highest swinging strike rates in baseball, almost 12%. You know, he's going to hammer the four seamer. The Padres are terrible against good fastballs and the change, right? He's going to mix in. He's got a cutter every once in a while, but he also throws a curve. The curve is great. We love that against the Padres. I just think that Weaver is in a solid spot to do 40 point outing against a bad team. And point per dollar value, he's got 40 point upside and he's only 7.8K. So as far as a GPP pitcher, he has to be in your process. He has to be. He definitely has the ability to, you know, his price allows you the same, I think, ceiling as someone like a Godley or a Stroman. but you're saving $1,200 or you're saving $1,000 by going down to Weaver. He's not, I'm not going to put him in the Severino Kluber tier. It's not even close. Like Severino and Kluber, just, you have to, you have to assume they're going to outscore him. And if you can find the bats to fit with those guys, then go for it. But I think that he offers what you want from a GPP pitcher insofar as there's strikeout upside here against this team. All right, let's move on to the sticks here and let's figure out where we're going to get our bats from, because it's, everybody is expensive. I think I'm not going to overlook the Yankees tonight. The fact that I didn't talk the Yankees yesterday pisses me off, and I'm sorry to you guys. They just fell off of my radar because I haven't been playing them. I've been in, the Yankees have been in permafade for me because of this, you know, that rough stretch that they went through for the last 30 days. And I think knowing how highly owned they are, I was fine putting them in the cooler. The issue there is you have your own cognitive biases interfering with your process, and that is how you exploit DFS players, right? That's how you win. You use people's cognitive biases against them. People step up to make a lineup and they go, oh man, the Yankees are awesome. I got to play the Yankees. They play all the Yankees, and the Yankees aren't in as good a spot as, I don't know, the Marlins. And you say, the Marlins suck. And you, as the DFS player, go, well, the Marlins may suck as a baseball team, but I'm going to exploit the fact that you presume the Yankees are at a better spot than the Marlins, and I'm going to play the Marlins instead of the Yankees. And when the Yankees fail, Marlins, you guys understand how that works. Anyway, I fell into that cognitive bias basically just by being like, I'm not playing the Yankees right now because they are ice cold and struggling. Well, of course they're going to get to Matt Boyd. Matt Boyd's last start against the Pirates was a disaster. He's not a good pitcher on the year. He's getting hit. Zimmerman is just too obvious to ignore, though, okay? The Yankees are going to be very popular today, but their total did go down this morning, okay? But against Zimmerman, you got to think that they're capable of putting up some runs again. And again, the thing that I liked is they were willing to not just hit the home run ball. They got contact, they got base runners, they generated offense, you know, with two Gary Sanchez home runs, but also just some high quality base running and like good, you know, extra base hits. And you got to love that. Zimmerman, though, hard contact on both sides of the plate. You got to realize Gary Sanchez and Aaron Judge are both in elite spots. The four seamer to right handers is just, it gets destroyed. That's the problem. His four seamer against righties is really bad. The rest of it, though, I think you either got to exploit point per dollar upside or you have to try to find the ownership leverage. Okay. Now, Hicks, cheap, top of the order, performed well last night. I think he'll be popular. Tyler Austin, cheap, first base, performed well last night. I think he'll be popular. Same with Todd Frazier. Affordable at 3-4, played really well last night. I think you probably pivot to the lefties here, though, okay? Even though those righties were in a great spot, and maybe people will say, okay, I get it, I'm going to go to the lefties too. Okay, hopefully they won't, and hopefully they just go to the guys who played well last night. That's my hope. But I think you easily go to the lefties. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure how to project this. Didi, Headley, Gardner, okay? They all hit the four-seamer, and they all actually grade out pretty well against the curve. Didi specifically grades really well against the curve. They're hitting from the left side. He struggled even more with hard contact to lefties, so I love the lefties in this spot. I think that, you know, they're very affordable. Didi and Headley are both 3.1K, Gardner 3.4K. I like it. I like it. So we'll go there to the Yankees. But again, I mean, it's 1-6, right? If you want to throw Yankees everywhere, and if Gary Sanchez double dunks, he's going to break the slate because he's owned, you know, he's always owned at 30%. He's always owned at 30%. That's it. Cubs. It's nothing to hide here. Massive fly ball pitcher in the best home run ballpark in baseball. Asher Wojciechowski, they hit him well last time. You gotta love the Cubs. You gotta love the Cubs in this one. Fly ball rate here is insane for Wojciechowski. It's almost 50% to both sides of the plate. It's over 50%, I think, to righties. The park is not helping him. It's a beautiful night in Cincinnati. If I'm going, I'm going for the fly ballers because you want to see if you can get one out. And if you get one out, then you win. That's what we do here. We try to find guys who are going to hit home runs. Obviously, you would probably be able to guess the best three fly ballers against righties in this team. Rizzo, Schwarber, Bryant. Okay, fine. Great. Not going to tell you anything you didn't know there. Those guys are all in a great spot. I think the other two that you got to love are Happ and Avila. And Happ actually has the highest home run to fly ball rate, which indicates to me that if Ian Happ gets one up, it's probably gone. 25% home run to fly ball rate. So one out of four times that Ian Happ hits a fly ball, it's going to be gone. Let's say he gets four at-bats tonight. I'm not going to be all four against Woj but let's say he's got a good chance, okay? That's what I'm trying to say. Happ hitting from the right side of the plate, 50% fly ball rate. There's a damn good chance that Ian Happ hits a dinger tonight. So I'm into Ian Happ, and I'm into Alex Avila. Fucking 52% hard contact rate to right-handers? This guy just hits the ball so hard. That's insane. The other one that I think is going to go overlooked because he's low in the order and he's a righty-righty matchup, but I don't think you have to overlook him in GPPs, Baez. Javi, baby. Solid fly ball rate to right-handers and good hard contact. And, you know, for as rough as Javi is on the eyes sometimes, I don't know if it's just the fact that Addison Russell is gone or whatever. He's getting to play every day or he's just feeling it in August. Like, he's just kind of has a late season surge. But the man is hitting the ball pretty well. And, you know, I mean, he hasn't blanked you since last week. He's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games in a row with at least 9 FanDuel points, twice over 18 points, and once almost flirting with 30. So I think that Javi is interesting here. You know, we're looking at these numbers. Yeah, he's going to strike out, but he's also going to hit the ball. It's kind of what he does. You know, he should play for the Rays. 2 strikeouts, 2 hits. So Javi is definitely in play as well. He will probably be one of the lower owned sticks in this lineup. But, you know, get your Cubbies in there. Get your Cubbies in there. I'm gonna have them, even though they're gonna be chalky, chalk, chalk, chalk. All right, moving on. Some other stacks that may be a little bit lower owned or a little bit less obvious. Grout stacks, filling them in, trying to get, you know, that 10-15% ownership tier, right? 10% ownership tier. The Twins got a little Giolito in their life last night, okay? He was solid, but he gave up 3 dingers, which is insane that the Twins are like the best home run hitting team in baseball, but you got to pay attention to this stuff. They're just hitting so hard, and they're winning the wild card. They're within biting distance of the Indians. What a difference a year can make, man. These Twins, it's exciting. It's good for Minneapolis St. Paul, right? They're getting big game James Shields. He trolled us all with that start in Texas. The whole world played everybody in that lineup, but you got to like him here. I mean, no doubt Dozier, Kepler, Rosario are my three, but I think if you want to get a little bit of variation in home run upside, Jorge Polanco and Kenny Vargas is back and he's down in the bottom of the order and he's super cheap first baseman, but he's back because Miguel Sano is out. Remember, he's filling in there. I think he's a defensive liability, which is why they don't really like him up. But if he's DHing in this spot, I love Kenny Vargas. He's a home run hitter. And Jorge Polanco just continues to hit dinger. One thing that you can't ignore, the BVP for Brian Dozier is mind blowing. Okay. if you want to pay up for a second baseman tonight and you're looking at Jose Altuve, it's not. It's Brian Dozier. He's got like 5 home runs. He's got over a 500 ISO against Big Game James. So it's all there. Go Brian Dozier. The White Sox on the opposite side. You guys know I like attacking Santana, but Santana definitely has a degree from the Mike Pelfrey school of not getting blown up. Andrew Cashner, baccalaureate degree there. some shitty pitchers who don't get hit hard. They're going to be lower owned. And if you want to try to sneak a home run out of them, I think, you know, it's not anybody you didn't think it would be. It's Nicky D, Jose Abreu, or Avisel Garcia. Those are the ones. Those are the guys. You know, they're not too cheap, which is kind of annoying. If they were cheap, I would be all over them. They're not as cheap as I wanted them to be. But they can hit home runs. That's what they do. So, you know, I don't know. By the way, you can't tack Kyle Gibson anymore. Like, he's too good at the ground ball thing. The Astros, I don't know if you guys have heard of this baseball team. They're out of Houston. They wear orange uniforms. They're pretty good against righties. They're going to get Edwin Jackson. Now, Edwin Jackson has been a gem for the Nationals. Like, he's just absorbed innings. He's been good for them. He's gotten them some great, great starts. You know, I mean, Dusty seems to be using him effectively as they're struggling to, you know, with injuries everywhere in this lineup. But this matchup could go south fast, right? They don't swing, and he pretty much just throws that fastball. Way too many fly balls, you know, for this team. The park is not great, okay? And I pointed this out yesterday. While it's a good place for batters to pull the ball, it's not a good place to just generate runs. You know, and that's kind of a goofy thing, but it's not a great park for runs. It's actually the last in runs, but it actually is a pretty good home run factor because the Crawford boxes are right there and they're really, really cheap. You know, those cheap little shots there. You know, and Jackson, if we want to attack him, I think you gotta like the righties. He can't strike them out. He walks them more. You know, and he throws heat. So righties who throw heat, you know, he's letting him pull the ball at a 48% rate. He's got a 40% fly ball rate, but he does have a 49% fly ball rate to lefties with 35% hard contact too. So I think it's, you know, you go with your righty lefty mix in this situation. And, you know, for me, George Springer at 3,800 against a guy who throws 94 miles an hour is just a dream spot. Right. So Springer, Reddick, Gurriel, Marwin, I'm not going to play Altuve because if I get that much money at second base, I'm playing Brian Dozier. Okay. I'm playing Brian Dozier, no doubt. I think that the Astros stack is a nice pivot from the Yankees. The Yankees are going to be so obvious to people, so very clearly obvious that people are going to have a hard time getting away from them. And remember, the Astros just have to outscore the Yankees. That's not a crazy sentence that I just said. The Astros outscore the Yankees is not a crazy, crazy idea here in this spot against Edwin Jackson. I'm into it. I'm into it. A couple places that you can pivot to get some leverage. All right. First is Texas. Andrew Haney gave up 4 home runs in Camden. Now he's getting a ballpark downgrade, upgrade in Los Angeles. And he, you know, he wasn't bad. He went 5 innings. He got a couple Ks, but 4 home runs indicates that his location is off and his stuff maybe isn't breaking the way he wants to. He's off of Tommy John surgery. We know that there's history of guys struggling after Tommy John surgery. He certainly seems to fit in that one. I hate the Rangers on the road, but if there are home runs to be had, I would go there. And you're looking for righties that hit lefties? Well, it's not hard, you know. I mean, I think it's not hard to figure out who that's going to be. It's Mike Napoli for sure. He pretty much only hits lefties. You know, he's it. He's the top dog, and I got to think he'll be low owned. You know, Bob Chirios isn't in a bad spot as a catcher. Elvis Andrews, obviously, and Adrian Beltre, both 200 ISOs there as well. So, you know, you go to the righties here in this spot. That's it. That's all I'm doing. I'm not going anywhere else. I'm going straight at the righties. DeShields, maybe. But 3.4K for Delino DeShields, who doesn't have home run upside. I don't want that. Right? I don't want that, especially when they're on the road. So I think it's Andrews. I think it's this core of the order. It's the 3-4-3-4-5, right? Which probably be Andrews, Beltre, Napoli. If you want to do that, that's kind of fun. And then my favorite spot might actually be the Marlins Phillies game. I think this game goes overlooked, and the Marlins just hit so many home runs. Like, they hit like three yesterday in the afternoon game. And they hit two more in the evening game. Like, this park just gives them such a boost, right? It's just so easy for them. They hit the ball hard, and it's so easy for them to hit home runs out of here. Leiter's numbers, like I mentioned earlier, good out of the pen, bad as a starter. Two full home runs per nine. Lefties are definitely in a good spot. I think Ozuna, of course, we know is a righty who hits righties, no question. I don't need to tell you that Giancarlo Stanton is good at baseball. I'm going to tell you that anyway. You can play Giancarlo Stanton, and he'll probably hit a home run tonight. Mark Leiter, not that great. I think it's the third. It's the big boys, right? It's Ozuna, Stanton, Yelich. Yelich is one of my favorite plays on the board. So underpriced. So underpriced. And I don't mind. The thing is you've got D. Gordon in the one. How much home run upside does D. Gordon offer you? Not much, but he's going to get on base, no doubt. And then, you know, is it Real Muto at 2-8? Well, I like Real Muto a lot against lefties. I don't love him against righties, okay? And if I'm spending 2.8K at catcher, I kind of want to play Alex Avila, you know? I think that that's my play. I kind of want to play Alex Avila. The ballpark is just as good. The fly balls are definitely there. And Avila's hard contact. I mean, Avila against a righty is just, it's a great spot. And a really, 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 really productive offense. So maybe Derek Dietrich. Derek Dietrich at 3.1K is very intriguing to me. So I like Derek Dietrich a little bit lower owned, perhaps, in the six hole. He's home run or bust, but like, if he gets you that home run at 3.1K, that's a great thing to have out of your third base spot. So, I think it's that 3-6 area, right? Obviously, 2-6 would be great too. You have, you know, Stanton, Ozuna, Yelich, Real Muto, Dietrich, but I think I'd probably skip Real Muto and go to Dietrich because that's a good price for him and possibly a cheap home run. So, that's it. That's it, guys. Lots of really good pitching. It's just a kind of a fun night. It feels balanced. There's some goofy pricing out here. There's some underpriced guys, just so you're aware. The Rays are seriously underpriced. Oh, God, the fucking Rockies are so underpriced. Oh, it's so frustrating. They're really underpriced. That makes sense, Eduardo Nunez. When you see Eduardo Nunez below 3K, you're like, what? Wait? And then I was like, Kluber. Oh, right, Kluber. Arizona bats, underpriced. Daniel Descalso at 2.3 against Chris Flexen. Just looking here, anything under 3K. Jose Ramirez at 2.9K. That's insane. That's insane. Michael Franco, 2.5K against Nicolino. Evan Longoria, I don't care what you say. Evan Longoria, 2.5K, that's a really good price. There's a lot of value on this slate. There really is, because pricing has just been wonky on FanDuel lately. Eduardo Escobar, he's not in a great spot here, but, you know, fine. Ketel Marte at 2.6K is ridiculous. Ahmed Rosario, I mean, I don't know when they're going to figure out how to price that guy. He's been free forever. And then, you know, in the outfield has been a little bit tougher lately. but you certainly have, you know, you have leadoff bats, you have guys under 3K. Corey Dickerson, 2.8K. Kevin Kiermaier, 2.9. Jason Hayward, 2.8. Cargo against a righty with fly ball issues, 2.8K. I don't like it, you know, but I don't mind it. Howie Kendrick, 2.8K, batting leadoff against Mike Fiers, who has a home run problem. I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot here, guys. There's a lot. Jock Jams, 2.8K. Scotty Shebs. God, Scott Schebler. I had so much Scott Schebler last night. He just totally disappointed me. Eugenio Suarez hit that homer. It was supposed to be Scotty Schebler's. Oh, they're all so cheap. There's a lot of easy pricing, soft pricing over here on FD. What are you going to do? You got to exploit it. That's what you got to do. All right, guys, let's jump over here. Let's figure out how we're going to throw together a lineup. So I jumped in with Severino at the top, and immediately I went to like a 3-3-2 system here. And I felt like, you know, I had to attack a certain price point, or that this kind of 3K points price point with Severino. So I went to some Yankees, right? Chase Headley, Didi Gregorius, Aaron Hicks. Now, I know I said Aaron Hicks wasn't going to be my favorite, but we know he bats. Both ways, and he has the ability here, I think, to be in a good spot against Zimmerman. Now, I can't remember if he is a better against lefties or better against righties guy. Let me see Hicks splits real quick. Because some of these guys, the switch guys, and I think it's Headley. Yeah. Headley with a 350 WOBA against Hicks is better against righties. Okay, good. Better. This is a good situation for Hicks. 229 ISO, DD, 228 ISO. So I also have DD in there. So the three-man Yankees, Headley, Didi, Hicks, not bad. You know, Headley's not my favorite first base play. Like, if I could find another first baseman in this price range, I would. It's just kind of, you know, that's just kind of where I'm at from a price perspective. I went Avila, Happ, and Schwarber. Try to get some fly balls in Great American. I think those guys all have home run upside. 1-2-3, Avila, Happ, Schwarber, perhaps lower owned than, you know, the Bryants and the Rizzos of the world. And then filled in third base with Derek Dietrich and went to Christian Yelich, right? Get a little bit of home run upside there in Philadelphia as well with that ballpark. So Severino with Avila, Happ, Schwarber, Headley, DD, Aaron Hicks, and then Dietrich and Yelich. So, you know, it's not, I'm going to fool with it. Like, and I've always said this, guys, this is a starting place. This is, you kind of get a feel for what you like, what you don't like. You get a sense of pricing and how people fit together. That's always what the point of the lineup is. It is not like a lineup provider lock and load. I'm selling you this. What I'm trying to get you a sense of how things build on the slate. So that's where we're at. For right now, I think if you wanted to go, like, let me try a real quick build with, my boy, Luke Weaver. Okay. So let's go Luke Weaver. And I'm obviously, if I take that savings, I'm going to go to Gerber, and then I'm going to go straight at the Yankees. I'm going to go straight back to the Yankee stack. And I love Didi. I'm going to go with Didi. I'm going to go with Hicks. And I'm going to go, I'm going to go to some Twins. And I'm going to go Brian Dozier. I'm going to go to the outfield where I'm going to get Eddie Rosario. Maybe Max Kepler. Let's see. Eddie Rosario, Max Kepler, Jorge Polanco. Ooh, that's cheap for Jorge Polanco. I like that at third base. Yeah, let's go Jorge Polanco right there. Let's go Kenny Vargas, presuming he's kind of in the back half of that lineup. And then I'm going to take Eddie Rosario, and then I have room for, at the end, 3,600. Oh, wow. I almost had room for Aaron Judge. Wait a second. I can make this Aaron Judge. I can make this Aaron Judge thing work, right? Let's figure this out. Let's figure this out. Hold on one second. The Judge. 3.8K is a very reasonable price for him. Sorry for the dead air time. I know that that's not good. Oh gosh, this is complicated. Okay, so I need a 3.4K outfielder. Let me see if there's a Minnesota guy at 3.4K. Byron Buxton. Oh no, Kepler. There he is. Kepler. That's who I wanted. It was the whole time. Okay, so this is nice. This is a 4x4 Minnesota, New York stack. Quick build, it could change. You could tweak it for sure, but this is a quick build kind of example with Weaver at the top. It has Gary and Aaron Judge and Brian Dozier in it. This kind of is turning me on a little bit. So four-man Yankees, Gary, Didi, Hicks, Judge. Oh, that's like 1 through 4 Yankees. That's sweet. And then Minnesota, I've got spread out. Right, I've got Dozier probably 1, Kepler probably 3, and then Polanco and Vargas down in the bottom half for some ownership leverage. One of those guys hits home runs, which is very possible against James Shields. We could certainly be sitting pretty there. So that is really nice to be able to have Weaver, Brian Dozier, Aaron Judge, and Gary Sanchez all in the same lineup on a night like tonight is pretty sexy. So I'll hold on to this one. Kind of fun. You got to wait for lineups, of course, to see where people fall as far as their batting order. But that's it, guys. Good luck in tonight's contest. Get out there, you know. Hey, free roll link is coming with the show on the website. Listener free roll, guys. Loyalty pool coming up later, so don't worry about that. All I ask is for review in exchange for cash prizes. Cash prizes for review. Write a review, please, if you haven't already. All right, means a lot to me. Get in there. It's only going to be a 20 man. Top three guys get paid. All right, that's it. LineupLogicDFS.com. I'll talk to you later.